like to.
It helps.
We have, during the winter, we have, it started with COVID, but we have a weekly roundtable discussion. And we just recently shut those down for the summer on the assumption that people wouldn't want to do it over the summer.
That's my fault.
But we have, our treasurer is an RF engineer, works at ARL at Penn State, so he can't talk about his work, but he can talk about radio. And we have another member, Stu, who's been mentioned here. He's a retired RF engineer. And those guys are almost always on the roundtable, and they have a wealth of knowledge, and they love to share it and love to talk about. And so these meetings tend to be about business. You know?
I realized that after a few minutes.
Yeah, and we're going through a period of business things. We're changing procedures and things.
Everything's being changed.
This is going to, eventually we're going to get through that, because we used to have a lot of the show and tell kinds of things, and Stu used to bring in, like, show us how to make wine our own balance and things like that. So we want to get back to that, but we got to go through this stuff to get there.
Right.
But the roundtable discussions, we used to do, up until just a couple weeks ago, we've been doing them every week with all through the winter. And typically anywhere from like 4 to 8 people attending, you know. And the last one, we went for 3.5 hours.
Cool.
Yeah. And we just said, you know what, it's like 11:30, it's time to shut this down.
I don't know what time, I left, remember?
Yeah.
I left.
That was the longest one we ever had, but we never ran out of things. They're fun. I'm wondering whether we ought to just maybe have those at least once a month or something. Just, I mean, is there a cost involved for you for the...
During the wintertime, I just pay the subscription for $14 a month. I just donate that to the club. I just make it. And then I reenact it, you know, bring it back up, reactivate it in about October, November.
Yeah.
We can do the 30-minute Zoom, and what I could do is just do 2 back-to-backs.
That wouldn't get us to 2.5 hours.
I know. Well, do you really want to go 2.5 hours?
No.
Well, I have an account.
Yeah.
If you want to do something like that, Darren's not subscribed, because we use that account for another organization that we're in. So... You know, I'd set them up under my account if need be.
I would just love to get Regina and Jason and Stu, and I just want to listen.
Cool. All right. I'm there. Just give me a link.
It's interesting, too, because they have some members that are trying a resurgence in Packet over on our side of the map.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of people in our club who will, the first thing is out of their mouth is, oh, yeah, 1980s technology. But there's a place for it. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. We're experimenting with WinLink.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even like WinLink in the beginning, but now I'm beginning to see the value of it, especially for served agencies.
I mean, it's important, but I think everyone should remember that as it goes, as it passes through the internet backbone, it winds up at Amazon servers. All the different countries that used to run it, it's all on Amazon OS.
Yeah.
And that bothers me. I think peer-to-peer, people should practice that.
Well, but the problem is that we're seeing is that somebody, one of the served agencies is American Red Cross. American Red Cross has a long-standing MOU with the ARRL, and the American Red Cross likes WinLink because the messages can come in and out of amateur radio without them having to have amateur radio on.
Yeah.
Now, I just met with Red Cross, and this is worth information. I hate to occupy so much of it.
No, it's information.
The American Red Cross just appointed an MCOM lead for the Johnstown chapter, which covers here. And I met with him on April 1st, and we're trying to get him an amateur radio license. He's been studying, and he's from somewhere in the Middle East because he was a member of the Red Crescent. He's a PhD candidate at Penn State. And he wants to get a license, and then he told me that they actually have amateur radio equipment, but they haven't sent it into the chapter office at State College. Because there was nobody there to operate. I'm like, what is it holding out on me? You know? The only problem is the chapter office is the same building as the weather service, and I'm kind of like, oh, geez, this is going to cause problems because strong likelihood that both stations will operate at the same time. My interest is MCOM stuff. So, and I'll, you'll see emails from me if you, when you get on the mailing list, I send out weather notices, you know, when we're going to get bad weather.
Yeah.
And whatever things I'm working on for public service events to train us to do better.
I'll look for it.